Good morning. He is risen. The correct response, the traditional response.
He is risen indeed.
Thank you. Thank you to our former Protestant. Turn to Daniel chapter 9. And welcome to math class. We're going to move a little quick this morning because we want to cover a little bit of ground. And so I won't stop and ask for questions or comments. If you have some and we have time at the end, we will stop for questions or comments. But let's go to Daniel chapter 9 and read a text. And this fits very well with our study on the end of the world. We've been looking at end time words to know lately. And we've been looking at the word tribulation. I told you the seven-year tribulation, one of the synonyms for the seven-year tribulation that's still future, is the 70th week of Daniel. And so we go to the text where that comes from, the 70th week of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, and actually fits in very well today with what we celebrate, the Resurrection Day. And so I want to calculate the cross of Christ, and I'm talking about the exact day in the exact year that Jesus was crucified on the cross, and we can see that from the Bible. And what I really want to emphasize this morning, not on. What I really want to emphasize this morning, you see it in tiny print there, the Bible is completely accurate in all matters. The Bible is not a science textbook. But when the Bible makes a scientific statement, it's perfectly accurate. The Bible is not a history textbook, but when the Bible makes a historical statement, it's perfectly accurate. The Bible is not an encyclopedia, but when the Bible makes a statement of fact, it's more accurate than any man-made encyclopedia. The Bible is completely accurate, and we're going to see that today in this fantastic prophecy that Daniel made more than 500 years before the birth of Christ. Well, Daniel, chapter number 9, I'll get my notes out here, and we're going to calculate the exact day of the crucifixion of Christ based on a writing of it more than 500 years before. Let's read verses 20 through 27 of Daniel chapter 9, and then we'll pray. Daniel 9, verses 20 through 27. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin, that's the first part of the chapter, Daniel prays, he confesses the sin of Israel, why they're in captivity, why they were carried away to Babylon, and his own personal sin, it apparently says, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, so the angel that later appeared to Mary and to Joseph, hundreds of years later, that angel, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, that's the prior chapter, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. So at the time of the evening sacrifice, while Daniel's praying, the angel Gabriel comes to him. Verse 22, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. Now watch this. Gabriel telling Daniel, Daniel writing it in the inspired text, us reading it 2,500 years later. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. We're not going to deal with that 70th week today in verses 27 and in verse 27. We'll start dealing with that, Lord willing, next week. But let's talk about the 69 weeks and calculate the cross of Christ. And let's ask the Lord's help. Father, indeed we do ask for your help this morning. Give us great help. Help us, Lord God, to think clearly, to think rightly, and to see from your word how accurate it truly is. And then, Lord God, to live our lives accordingly, that we know that we can base our lives on your inspired, accurate, infallible word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, so Daniel wrote this chapter in about 538 B.C. If you look at verse 1 of chapter 9, it says, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans." And so that first year of Darius was 538 B.C. So Daniel wrote this prophecy about 538 B.C. And in the prophecy that he gives, in verse, starting in verse 24, it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. And these 70 weeks, these are weeks of years. The word for week is simply the Hebrew word. The Hebrew word for week is simply the Hebrew word for seven. So it's 77s. That's how, if I said, "I'll see you in a week," if I was a Hebrew in that day, I would say, "I'll see you in seven." So it's the Hebrew word for 77s. And they use the word week to refer to 7 years. There's several instances in the scripture where the word week is used to refer to 7 years. And so the context makes it, will make it clear. Later, Daniel writes of weeks of days. So he's talking about days there. Here he's talking about years. And so, 70 times 7 is, of course, 490. He's talking about 490 prophetic years. And this prophecy covers 490 prophetic years, and he's writing in 538 B.C., but the prophecy didn't begin then. He says when the prophecy begins is in verse 24, when a commandment goes out. Or verse 25, he says, when the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem until the Messiah. That's the 400, or that's part of the 490 years, so we'll talk about that. Now, understand this. In verse 24, it says, 70 weeks are determined for thy people. He's talking to Daniel, who was an Israelite. This is God's program for the children of Israel, thy people. And that's key. This is the master key. This chapter, and we'll talk about this a little bit more next week, this chapter and this prophecy in particular is the master key to understanding God's program of prophecy. This is the master key, and we'll have to talk about that a little bit next week. I'll actually give you some quotes from some prophecy scholars that explain that. And so the 70th week, that's in the end of verse 26 and verse 27, he shall confirm the covenant with many, verse 27, for 1 week. The 70th week, that's the 7-year tribulation period. The seven years of the tribulation period, the 1 week, that week is the 7-year tribulation period. It's still future to today. But let's talk about the first 69 weeks, because we have some very interesting things in the first 69 weeks. Notice in verse 25 that Daniel gives a prophecy. Know therefore, this is Gabriel talking to Daniel, Daniel recording it. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So that's a total of 69 weeks. From the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah, 69 weeks of years. And so this is a prophecy. This is a decree. When was that commandment given? Let's go to Nehemiah. Hold your place in Daniel. We'll come back here. But let's go to Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2. Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 2. This takes place after Daniel. The children of Israel are still in the Babylonian captivity sometime later. And look at verse 1 through 8. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. This is Nehemiah writing. He was the king's butler, the king's personal assistant. Now I had not been beforetime sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy soul and thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it, not build the sepulchres, build the city, that I may build Jerusalem. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, For how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, If it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertained to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Now, so Daniel writes in 538 B.C. of this decree that would be given. And it's given 93 years later in 445 B.C. Notice chapter 2, verse 1. It came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king. You can go to any encyclopedia. You can go online to Wikipedia. You can look up Artaxerxes the king and see when he began to reign, and see that the 20th year of his reign was 445 B.C. And so Daniel, 93 years before, gives a prophecy that a decree is going to be made to go and rebuild Jerusalem. Now, here's a way to look at the accuracy of prophecy. One of the hallmarks of accurate prophecy. Daniel prophesies of this decree, and it's a very unlikely decree. When else in history, when before Daniel's time, when else had a conquered people been told by the conquering nation, go and rebuild what we destroyed, and we'll pay for it, and we'll help you? Had that ever happened before Daniel? Now, I'm not a history professor, but I'm a history buff, and I don't know of it ever happening since, except one time in the 20th century. The United States paid to rebuild Japan and turn them from a warlike people to an industrious people, and now we have no greater ally in the Pacific when we need an ally in the Pacific. But that's unprecedented. Go rebuild what we destroyed, and we'll pay for it. Just out of the goodness of his heart, but out of the Lord moving him in his heart, according to the good hand of his God upon him. So Daniel says, there's going to be a commandment from the king for something that's never happened before. Right. And then it happens. That's accurate prophecy. When something is prophesied that's never happened before, and then it happens. Hey, a virgin shall be with child. That's never happened before. Then it happens. Jesus said, hey, there's going to be, at the time of the end, as we approach the end, there's going to be earthquakes in places where there's never been earthquakes before. Is that happening? And so here's accuracy of prophecy, something that's never happened before. Daniel says it's going to happen, and then it happens. And he accurately predicts it 93 years before that. But let's look at it itself. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 9. Notice verse 25, and we'll see that the 69 weeks are divided into two parts. So the whole 70 weeks is divided into three parts, 69 weeks and 1 week. The 69 is divided into two parts. Let's read verse 25 again. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince, who's, by the way, just if anybody's uninitiated, who's the Messiah the Prince in verse 25? Jesus Christ. Shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And so there's going to be 7 weeks of years. How many years? What's 7 times 7? 49 years and 62, or 62 weeks of years. 49 years and 483 years. The 7 weeks apparently applies to the end of the verse. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Didn't Nehemiah, when he was rebuilding Jerusalem, didn't he have troublous times? Didn't Tobiah the Ammonite and all these others come against him and try to put a stop to it and write letters to the kings and say, put a stop to this, and hey, this is a troublous city. If they rebuild this city, it's going to be trouble for you, king. There was troublous times. Guess how long it took them to rebuild the city? Anybody want to take a guess? History records it took 7 weeks of years. That's the 7 weeks, the first 7 weeks, the street shall be built again. And the wall. It took 49 years to get it back into shape. And then, from that point, another 62 weeks of years, 483, but the total of the 69 is 483 years. Where am I at? Yeah, another 62 weeks. After 62 weeks after that, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. That's what verse 26 says. Who's the Messiah? When was he cut off? And cut off is a term used throughout the Old Testament when someone is excluded from the people. They're cut off. When was he cut off? He was crucified on the cross. Did he die for himself? Who did he die for? Messiah shall be cut off, verse 26, but not for himself. Isaiah said he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And so, here's what we have. 69 weeks of years from the commandment in Nehemiah chapter 2 until the cross of Christ. 483 prophetic years. 69. Does this make sense so far? From the commandment, Daniel said, when the commandment goes out, there will be 69 weeks until Messiah is cut off. When the commandment goes out. Now, here's what we need to understand. An ancient year was 360 days, not 365. There's a key to understanding part of this, to doing this calculation, this math that we're getting ready to do. The Hebrews, like many ancient people, what did they follow for the calendar? The lunar calendar. They followed the moon. And so the word moon, our word month, comes from the word moon. They followed the moon. The moon is in a cycle of around a month. And so they followed the moon. And so they had a prophetic year that was 360 days following the moon. And because it wasn't the calendar year started on the first new moon after the spring equinox. So we've just started in 2022, we've just started the lunar calendar year. Started the first new moon after the spring equinox. Because they figured the year in 360 days, they had to throw in an extra month every now and then, to keep it up, to keep the months right, the months ordered right. But, so 360 days in a calendar year. Now let's do some calculations. 69 weeks. So 69 times 7 times 360 days per year. 173,880 days. 173, that's a lot of days. That's 483 prophetic years. 173,880 days. So from the time that the commandment went forth to rebuild Jerusalem until Christ was crucified on the cross, 173,880 days. Let's calculate that again. Go back to Nehemiah chapter 2. When did that command go forth? Look at Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king. Remember I told you that the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king is 445 B.C. Some of you, if you have a Bible with center column references, you might actually have that date or a date very close to it at the top of your center column. 445 B.C. And now this is the month Nisan. Nehemiah doesn't give the day, the exact day in the month. But it appears the king was having a feast. Nehemiah is serving the king's feast. Now, the ancients, they would have a feast on the first day of the month. Throughout the Bible, we see that several times. When Saul was trying to kill David and David didn't show up to dinner, well, what day was it? It was the first of the month. They were having a feast. They expected David to show up. They would have a feast on the first day of the month. There's many instances in the Bible, instances historically. So let's, without Nehemiah giving the day, he gives that there is a feast. Let's just assume that it's the first day of the month and calculate from there. So from the first day of the month Nisan in 445 B.C. plus 173,880 days. You guess when that comes to? That comes to the you don't have to guess, you can calculate it. It comes to the 14th day of Nisan in the year A.D. 32. What's the month Nisan? Anybody know? It's also called, before the Babylonian captivity, it was called the month Abib. Abib, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. It's the first month of the lunar calendar. Huh, what's that? Not the lunar calendar. January is the first month of our calendar, not the first month of the first March or April, depending on when the equinox, depending on when the new moon is after the equinox, either late March or early April. The month Abib, the first month of the Jews' calendar. What happened on the 14th day of the first month, 14th day of Abib? What were the Jews supposed to do? Passover. The Passover. You can read of it in Exodus chapter 12. The Passover was sacrificed on the 14th day of Nisan or Abib. The commandment goes out, if it went out on the first day of Nisan, the exact number of days later takes us to the Passover, A.D. 32. And Messiah was cut off, but not for himself. Now I'm seeing a lot of bored faces. To me, this is exciting. This is fantastical that David, over 500 years before it happened, predicted, calculated, prophecy didn't predict. He was told to the day, to the exact day when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would be crucified. Right. That's amazing. All I'm trying to say is, the Bible is accurate. You can count on the book. The Bible tells you what has happened and what will happen. And by the way, some say, well, and we say this, and it's true, the Bible is the sufficient guide for faith and practice, but it's a sufficient guide for everything it speaks of. Not just for our faith and practice, but for everything that it tells us. And the Bible's never been proven wrong. You can read old books where, you know, this king is mentioned, and some critics in some old books say, well, that king, there's no evidence of that king ever existing. And then after the book was written, somebody dug up something old, and that king's name is mentioned. That happens all the time. The Bible's never been proven wrong. The Bible is accurate to the day. Now, here's what I want to say in connection with prophecy. The 69 weeks of prophecy was fulfilled to the letter. The tribulation period, that 70th week, is going to be fulfilled to the letter. If the 60, there are those who take that 70, who agree with the 69 weeks, that it was fulfilled to the letter because it's a matter of historical record. Agree with, and then take the 70th week and try to spiritualize it, try to make it an analogy for something. If the 69 weeks were fulfilled to the letter, the 70th week is going to be fulfilled to the letter. When Messiah was cut off at the end of the 69 weeks, God pressed pause on his program for Israel, and I'm so glad he did, because that gives you and me as Gentiles, and I assume we're all Gentiles, that gave you and me as Gentiles the opportunity to be grafted in to God's program and God's people. Amen. And then there's a trumpet that's going to sound, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to be with the Lord. And God will once again resume his program for Israel. That 70th week will begin, and we call it the tribulation period. And I want to tell you, you don't want to be on earth for that. You want to trust Christ today. If you've not trusted Christ, you want to trust Christ. That just as we see that 69 weeks was fulfilled to the letter, if you read of what's going to happen in that 70th week that will be fulfilled to the letter, you do not want to be here. We made it through quicker than I thought. Got time for any questions or comments? Mrs. Neeland.
I just was thinking about it. You were saying that 70th year the tribulation begins. And will that be 7 years in our time? Or
prophetic years? It appears to be prophetic years. When you add up things like how long these 42 months is the half of the tribulation, and 1,000, however many days is the half of the tribulation. It appears to be prophetic years, which is only just a few days off of 7 calendar years. You know, when you're only dealing with 7, it would be 35 days off from 7 calendar years. Any other questions or comments? Yes, ma'am.
I'm glad that you did this because, there's a lot of study you can do on Easter. And a lot of people, especially here in the East, we call it Easter.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
There's actually historical, there's history on Easter.
Right.
It's not the same thing as
Resurrection Day, yes. And I prefer, every once in a while, Easter slips out of my mouth, but I prefer to say Resurrection Day. Mm-hmm. Brother Pat.
This is just one of the many prophetic in the Bible. For the first coming of Christ, there's over 384
right.
prophets.
Right.
But mathematically, if you figure that out, it's like 1 to the 100, 0.
Yeah. It's completely impossible that anybody would fulfill it, yeah. And Christ fulfilled it.
So 28-30% of the Bible's prophecy, God telling what's going to happen ahead of it.
Yes.
And people want to ignore that.
This is what I don't understand. The Jews today accept the book of Daniel as inspired text. They could do this calculation. They could do this calculation and they could see, Passover AD 32 Messiah was cut off. And they could stop looking for a Messiah and start looking at the Messiah that's already come, Jesus Christ. And unbelievers that haven't trusted Christ, they could do this calculation, or they could listen to a teacher that's done this calculation. Jesus Christ was crucified for our sins, not for himself. He was cut off, not for himself, for you and for me. On the day that Daniel said it would happen, why wouldn't somebody trust him and realize that, hey, he's the way out. He's my salvation. The Bible is true. Yeah. Brother Adam, you get the last word, and then we'll close in prayer.
When we read about the early days of Christ and how wise men from the East, possibly likely influenced the Daniel's seventieth week.
Yes. Yes. The wise men from the East that came after Christ's birth, they came from the country where Daniel had written this. You remember, it's in Luke chapter 24 and elsewhere, that after the resurrection, Jesus talked with his disciples, and he opened their eyes. He opened up the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, and opened their eyes. I believe this is one of the kinds of things that he showed them. He showed them that he showed them all the scriptures concerning himself, it says. He showed them that he was the Messiah that was cut off. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time in the Word of God today. I pray, Lord God, that you would give us confidence in your Word. Confidence enough, Lord God, that if there's one here today who knows not Christ as Savior, they would trust Jesus Christ today. And Father, confidence as Christians that we could live our lives in accord with your word, knowing that we can trust it, knowing, Lord God, that we can confidently place our future in your hands and follow you and be obedient, Lord God. So thank you, Lord God, for our study today. And now bless, Lord God, the church services today. Guide and direct that you would be glorified in all that takes place, that Jesus Christ will be lifted up, and that we can truly rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what this day means for us today. And it's in Christ's name that we ask it. Amen.